What's up, Hammer?
Yeah, he wants to hit somebody, that's for sure.
Understandable.
Give him some pads.
Yeah, understandable. The first 49ers practice is well, it's beginning right now, and we know Trent Williams isn't there. There's a lot of speculation as to whether Brandon Ayuk is going to practice today or not. He's at the facility. John Lynch has acknowledged as much. Mm-hmm. You just heard John Lynch talking about him. He, along with Kyle Shanahan, both said they hope that Brandon Ayuk practices. I'm guessing this was a conversation amongst the two parties. Mm-hmm. Because if it wasn't, I feel like they would. He's not practicing. Right. We were told he's not practicing. Right. Like, we'll see.
John, also in another quote, talking about Ayuk, he just simply said, at some point, you got to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, mm-hmm. like, I think they're pretty tired of all this. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I don't imagine this is easy. What do you think, Cam? You think they're kind of at their breaking point with all of this?
Well, look, I don't agree with John Lynch. He was a player. At some point, you have to pay. And I get his idea that at some point you have to play. Yeah, you play when you're financially stable. Like the Trent Williams situation is no guaranteed money. Not this year, not next year. He goes down in a heap and they can just say goodbye. So if I'm Trent Williams, I'm doing this exact same thing. And with Ayuk, it's like, okay, like you want me to play for $14 million. And then if I blew out my knee or pop an Achilles in week two, like my return on the dollar, you know, what he might get another big contract. He also might have the same situation that DeMarcus Cousins had here in Sacramento, where one left and then he blew his Achilles and he didn't have that giant $220 million extension. He lost upwards of $200 million.
Yeah,
because of that injury,
got anything close to that.
Yeah, so Lynch, I get it, but man, you're a player. You were a player first, and you understand the dangers that you put yourself, in every single time you step on a football field. And so, I don't agree with John Lynch. At some point you have to play, but that's after you get paid, and it's just the dynamic of the sport. And if you know there were like 12 other receivers holding out right now, all of them like holding a line and saying, you know, we're not, the group of us aren't going to play until we get paid. No, man, the other 12 got paid. They all got paid. And this is one guy who hasn't. And so I get it. But at some point they have to either trade him or they have to just buckle down and sign the contract and get him in the door with a reasonable deal that makes sense for everybody.
I'm regardless of what the media tries to say about me.
Kenny hates me.
I am pro player. I am pro player, just like the jacket. I am. But Ham, I will also say that, yeah, if you get injured and all this other stuff, they can cut you and do all that. If Trent Williams is the worst left tackle in football next year, is he giving any money back? If Brandon Ayuk is awful and leads the league and drops next year, is he giving any money back? Like, it works both ways. It's not necessarily performance-based at that time. Like, if you can say, hey, you want to do the Ricky Williams and say, yeah, I'll sign an incentive-based contract where if I reach these benchmarks, then you pay me this money. Cool. But that's not how it works. They want the money based on what they did in the past, which is fair, but regardless of what may happen in the future. And that's there's both sides too. There's other sides to it. Because they're never giving that money back if they don't hold up their end of the bargain, performance wise.
Yeah, but I'm just going to, I understand what you're saying, but that's not the way it works. You have all of these other wide receivers who just got their money and they're all in the same situation. And then you have one guy who's left who hasn't got his money. And I totally agree that there's a cap on what you can pay somebody. I know you got to fit them into the, you know, whatever type of system, whatever type of, you know, financial constraints that the NFL puts on you. But like these players, there's going to be diminishing returns. But that's why the NFL allows these teams to write the fourth year as like a a highly questionable, like partially guaranteed, maybe not even guaranteed at all, fourth year. You know, when a player reaches a certain status, and Brandon Ayuk has done that, he's a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, and the other guys all get paid, there becomes a standard that you have to live up to as a franchise. And there's a standard that Ayuk has to live up to, that he has to make sure that he gets to keep other receivers getting the same money that this other group has gotten. And the 49ers are the ones who didn't give an honest like offer early on in this process. And they're the ones who allowed this thing to get out of control, where every single other team signed their guy and the dollar amount kept going up and up and up. And that's on them. And, you know, if you don't want to pay him, what are there two or three other teams that are lining up and ready to pay him? And it's just a reality of the situation everyone's in.
Well, that's when things get ugly, because just because they're willing to pay you. Now you got to do what you got to do. And as the 49ers, I got to do what I got to do. So, yeah.
And to be fair, I think there's one. Well, New England's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They're the ones whose offer was allegedly over in that 30-some-odd million-dollar range, but weren't the other ones basically in the range of what the 49ers were offering?
Sounds like it. But
we don't know.
But the thing about that, though, James, is like, all right, you got to do what you got to do financially. I got to do what I got to do as an organization, and I'm not going to give you away because you want to go make money. Like, I have standards as well. Like, yeah, ain't no just trade me. No, you're a good ball player. This, like I said, this is when it gets ugly. Because you're a good ball player, and the you want to talk about value and where you're at in the league. The value says you should be traded for more than a fifth rounder. You should be traded for a first rounder. And if they're not giving me what the value is, guess what? You ain't going to be traded. And we just going to sit here and look at each other. So what do you want to
do? That's the response is, I'm going to sit at home and I'm going to watch you guys play football, and I'll show up at week 10 and get my year of service, and I'll play the last couple of weeks of the season. Maybe you play me, maybe you don't. And you could say, well, you're going to lose value. And it's like, okay, I might lose value, but at the same time, I'm not going to get hurt. I'm not risking my body for 10 weeks for a team that's not going to put the money on the table. And then they can say, okay, we'll find them. We're going to franchise tag you. Okay, that means I got to be in the top four wide receivers next season. That's fine. Go ahead and franchise tag me. And if they want to do that again, and so he can get his money a different way. Sure, he'll lose some money up front, but I don't know. At the end of the day, like, this is why you negotiate early and you try to get these deals done early.
That sounds like cutting off your nose to spite your face. Because you're
what
you're,
does?
Like
the to sit out,
yeah, the scenario you played out, because you're in a situation where you could be getting $28 million a year, and instead you're going to take 14 or whatever the average is just to prove a point. Like,
no, it's not to prove a point, it's to get the money that you deserve.
You ain't getting it. They're franchising, you're not getting it. You're not getting
you'll get it somewhere else.
No, you're not, because they got to trade you. They've got to offer up, and they've already shown, these teams have already shown, they're not going to give the 49ers the compensation they're asking for.
Yeah.
Well, some of them did, and Brandon Ayuk just said no.
And there's that.
Cleveland did, but Brandon Ayuk has as much control as an NFL player can have over their trade destination. Brandon Ayuk has it because no one wants to acquire him for a single season, because he does have a single season worth $15 million on this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Trent Williams
situation. And then he can walk away.
Yeah, that's an entirely different headache.
Yeah, Trent Williams. I don't know
how to get that figured out. And to me, that's a far greater problem than Brandon Ayuk. Mm-hmm. I think Ayuk is wide receiver one. Like, he's a dude. I want this to work out for everybody. But I said this yesterday, and I'll say it until he signs. I feel like Trent Williams is the most important player to this football team. Mm. I think he's important for Brock Purdy's... Not to be dramatic, his safety.
You ain't lying.
I think he's important to Christian McCaffrey, and McCaffrey having the space that he has. Mm-hmm. I think he's important to making Debo a big time player. Not that those guys aren't without Trent Williams, but he adds something to that. And not having him is killer. Like that is just absolutely brutal, James.
Yeah, he's a guy that makes sure that your quarterback stands up straight. I mean, to me, I've said it for the last couple of years, he's the most important player on that team.
Yeah.
And, like, you can argue Purdy or McCaffrey or Bosa or Warner, whoever you want to argue. And I'll tell you, okay, well, when you don't have Trent Williams, what happens? You lose. Like, straight up, you do. And so look at the middle of last season, those games that they lost. Where was Trent Williams? He wasn't playing, right? He played in one of them?
Yeah, Debo's the one that was going all three.
Yeah, yeah. Trent, but either way, I get it. Debo's
lost by a field goal, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Should have won. They missed the field
goal. That's right, that's right, yeah. That's right. That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah. So for my money, like, look, you got to figure out a way to guarantee some money for him. You have to fully guarantee this year without any question. But then next season, you got to at least give him a partial guarantee so he knows that he can come back. What you don't want him to do, what you don't want to have happen, is that you give him a deal for this year with some guaranteed money for next year, and then he just up and retires at the end of the season. And you're like, oh, well, that's a bummer. Now we have guaranteed money on the books for a guy who's not going to play. So I can understand sort of hedging your bet with a 37-year-old guy. But at the same time, like, there needs to be some things put into place here where he feels financially stable moving forward, and that he feels like that money that you're giving him right now actually comes with some sort of guarantee. And it's sort of the way it goes. I mean, this is, so many other guys on this team have had their contracts cashed out. And like, if you're Trent Williams, you want to be one of those guys, and you should be. You're the best left tackle in the game, and you mean more to this team than I believe any other player does, and they don't have anyone who can fill in for his spot.
And the deal is the Damian Marling deal. Just do it like the Rams did Aaron Donald. Like, just do it that way. Like, give him his money
guarantee
that way.
Every year.
And it's all on him. Like,
that's
if
it.
You play, you'll get your money. If you want to retire, we're not on the hook.
That's it.
Straight up.
Yep. And Aaron Donald signed a 3-year deal that paid him a stupid amount of money where it was all guaranteed, and after 2 years, said, cool, yeah. I'm done.
We are forgetting one point about that, though. Mm. That is the Rams, and they don't have a salary cap.
That's alleged, but yeah, it does appear that they don't have a salary cap. I looked up at the TV, saw L. Duncan, and lost my train of thought. Need to turn. No wonder James and Kyle watch CNN all day. Look it. Just completely obliterated my train of thought.
Everyone is yelling at each other when we turn on the TV in the morning, and I don't want to listen to any of it. Stop yelling at each other.
Your boy, Matt Maioka, says wide receiver Brandon Ayuk is not at practice.
That's
and just
not
like that, hope is dashed. One tweet, hope is dashed.
Yeah, I was always surprised at the thought that he would be at practice without a new contract.
Now, I'm curious, like, why that thought was out there. Mm-hmm. I feel like some conversation had to have been had for Kyle and John to both talk about, like, yeah, we hope he's out there. Like, there had to have been a discussion about it, but the answer clearly wasn't maybe it was, we'll talk about it, you know, we'll try to figure this out. Maybe it wasn't a clear yes. It clearly wasn't a no, because mm-hmm. I feel like they both would have said that. It clearly wasn't a yes, so maybe it was one of those things. We'll talk this over. We'll do what's best. Obviously, he wants to play. He's been around. He's operating in good faith. Let's talk this over, and then I guess he decided not to.
Let me ask both of you guys this question. Is there a point in time, I know we talked about how valuable both of these guys are, but is there a point in time when you got to focus on the guys that are there?
It's right now. This is the first practice of the season. It's right now.
Yeah. Like, it's all this other stuff. Like, you, both sides had time to
But
get
here's
it
done. The thing. John doesn't need to be out. John That's doesn't true. Need to be at practice.
Neither does Parag.
Right. Like, so Kyle needs to Kyle can shift his focus to the guys that are out there, and he can say that with 100, you know, and be 100% genuine with it. Mm-hmm. John doesn't need to be on, even though he looks like he's about to go hit a pad, he doesn't need to. John can be on the phone, and he can be in his office, and your boy Parag can be up there with him, and they can navigate these two contracts while the rest of the guys prepare for the New York Jets.
Yeah, and for me too, like, Kyle Shanahan's been preparing for this forever. Like, this is a job, because today it's whether Ayuk or Trent Williams are going to be there, right? Mm-hmm. But tomorrow it can be whether Kittle will be there. The NFL is, like, injuries happen so quickly, and they change everything. And so you have to constantly be ready for what's next, I think, more than any other sport. Mm-hmm. You know, they're NBA players. You just pencil in for 34 minutes every single night for 82 games, and you just, okay, it's happening. But in the NFL, like, there are so many injuries, and they happen, you know, like, I think Dre Greenlaw jumping up and down on the sidelines. He's too excited and pops his Achilles in the Super Bowl. Mm. Like, okay, game plan just changed. Like, what do we do now? We can have somebody who might be able to fill into his shoes, but not really. And so you got to just keep adapting and keep playing.
James' internet appears to be on the verge of an ACL tear.
Always. I can switch internet. I can dip out and switch.
You're fine. James, you might not understand this reference, but your shoulders have been on the mat for like 2.5, and the referee's coming down for 3, and you kick out and you get the shoulder up.
Sounds like wrestling.
There you go. It's wrestling indeed.
You know the other thing real quick about this 49ers thing is I think they haven't fined Brandon Ayuk yet during this whole training camp. I think fines are going to start coming.
Yeah, so I think that was the significance behind the physical. Mm. He's medically cleared to play football. Mm-hmm. He's choosing not to. Mm-hmm. And that can happen. So they can. I don't know how that goes with his contract and erasing those types of fines.
Right.
Because I don't think there's anything you can do about Trent Williams and the fines that he gets levied because he's a veteran, mm-hmm. whereas Brandon Ayuk is on the rookie contract. So when you sign that extension, assuming you sign that extension, you can put language in it to forego any fines accumulated during training camp.
Right.
I don't know if that's different for practice because, again, it seems silly. This is not training camp. Training camp is over. The 53-man rosters have been set. They're now preparing for the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. week one, for all intents and purposes, of the NFL season is here.
Yeah,
they're preparing for their opponent. And so I don't know how fines work in that regard, but that was pointed out by a number of people, and I think you're on to something right there.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's not going to help anything, and that's the... That's the problem. You want something positive to happen for both of these entities, and it doesn't. You know, Kyle's tone was a little bit. I don't want to say his tone because we didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. Reading what Kyle said read a little bit differently than hearing what John Lynch said. Mm-hmm. Kyle was more of, you know, I'm confident about where we're at and Trent Williams, and I think he's going to be here. He's a pro. All of the, you know, he's just glowing about the two. And you know, when sides want to get it done, we can get it done. All of this stuff, like, we're motivated. Mm-hmm. That was not the tone that John Lynch had
right. When
John Lynch was speaking.
He seemed a little more frustrated.
He sounded exhausted. We were talking a lot earlier. We'll bring James into this conversation in a bit, but we're talking about being emotionally drained. John Lynch sounded a bit emotionally drained.
I agree.
He's like, I'm tired of this, and he still has the biggest contract he's ever had to deal with coming up in, you know, 8 months or so, 10 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, being a general manager isn't fun, you know, and everyone chooses to do it like they have their own style, and you know, the 49ers clearly their style is to drag this thing out, and fingers crossed that you can get a deal done that makes most sense for you. It didn't work last time they did this either. You know, like the Bosa situation, not only did they lose financially because they just gave him everything. I mean, it was the biggest contract for a non-quarterback in the history, right? Mm-hmm. It was just a tremendously, like, they just backed up the Brinks truck. But then you got him in camp and he wasn't right for the first, what, 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season. He didn't even really ever have the impact that he has in the past. It costs you, and I think this could cost the 49ers too. And like, I feel bad for Shanahan a little bit in this situation, and I feel bad for Brock Purdy in this situation because Brock Purdy's like sitting back there going, "Man, I got the biggest payday, like what you just talked about, ever coming, right, for a 49er." Mm-hmm. But I might not, because number one, I could get crushed and get injured because my left tackle's gone, and number two, I could not look nearly as effective as a quarterback because I don't have my star wide receiver that I, you know, hit all the time. Mm-hmm. And so you're putting other players and coaches in a bad situation. And for that matter, you're putting some young wide receivers probably have no business being in that this situation where all of a sudden, you know, again, Juwan Jennings has to go from a 3 to a 2. And he's been around long enough, but Pearsall or what Cowling, like you're going to have to rely on somebody else to be something that they're probably not. Even if it's like Chris Conley. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like he's not Brandon Ayuk.
Or
so
maybe
how
you're relying on them to be something that they're not yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the tough part. You're really like, if you have Super Bowl aspirations, this really is not the way to conduct business.
Yeah, and that's the tough part for some of those other guys, the Pearsalls, the Cowlings. It's tough. It's like, yeah, no, step into this role and win at the highest level. Like, mm-hmm. You got to be the guy because we're trying to win one game. Mm-hmm. That's it. One. And we need to get there. So, no learning curve, pal. Let's go.
In this situation, while I understand the player, I feel like Brandon's been a little difficult. Maybe I shouldn't even say that. He's sticking to whatever guns he has, no matter what. That's what it feels like.
And the CeeDee Lamb stuff probably didn't help because everything we heard regarding CeeDee Lamb was he wanted 34 per year. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys, I think, were at 32. Then they went to 33. And then we get here this week, and they go to 34. I don't know what Brandon Ayuk's number is or what he's not CeeDee Lamb. This is a different situation. It's comparable, but it's different. And I don't know. I think I kind of agree with you without knowing, like, the particulars. I mean, the amount of reports that have come out that said this thing is close, and there's just language, and then there's fourth-year stuff. It's like, well, then what are we doing? And if it really is, and not to, you know, not going at any of those reporters, if it really is close, Brandon Ayuk's practicing. Mm. Like if it's as close as some of them made it out to be,
right?
Brandon Ayuk is practicing, and he's not. So I don't think it's as close as some of these reports are indicating.
Right. Yeah, where are you getting the info? And which side is giving that info?
Right.
And that info, who does it help and who does it hurt? And those, you know, are always the questions.
And you know as well as anyone else, you have to at least corroborate the story with the other side. Mm-hmm. You've got to get something. You don't have to get an exact. You've got to get something to establish that what you have is real. And mm-hmm. yeah, there's some interesting stuff out there that just it doesn't add up.
Is the other thing that is happening now? Would you send Brandon Ayuk home if you were the 49ers?
No.
Like the whole traveling with us on the road trips and all this other stuff?
I wouldn't. Unless you were prepared for what comes with that. I feel like that's a measure that it's like, look, at this point, you're playing on the $15 million or you're just not playing. Mm. You're walking away from everything at that point, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Mm. As long as both sides are invested in making this work, I wouldn't do that. What about you, James?
Oh, no. When it comes to week one, I mean, the first road game, yeah, you're not welcome. Like, this is the traveling party is for players. And if you're going to play the game that, oh, well, I'm still showing up, it's like, okay, well, we'll make sure we leave a trainer behind. You go ahead and show up and you do your thing here. Hmm. Or you don't. And if you don't, we'll find you. And if not, like, whatever. But, like, there does come a point where, like, you do have to play under the assumption that somebody is not going to be there and that you can't rely on them. And so, like, the team, like, you still have options, but I don't want the guy standing there on the sidelines and acting like it's no big deal. Like,
yeah,
okay.
That kind of feels unprecedented. Has that ever happened?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's. I don't think that I can't.
He can
ever
go
recall.
Buy a ticket and fly there himself.
I don't think Emmett was there for 2 weeks watching his team lose. I don't.
Last year, Chris Jones was in the press box or in a suite.
I remember that. Yeah. Like, but that was like the day before the deal got done, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because that was week one.
Yeah, it was week one. Yep.
I think the deal got done Friday, if I remember
correctly.
That's
about right. Yeah.
Didn't we have Kyrie show up and sit courtside in a game?
well, that was crazy because he couldn't play. Yeah, he couldn't play, but he could attend the game. He couldn't play without taking the shot, but he could attend the game without taking the shot. That was weird.
All right, we'll come back. Just reading some tweets coming from 49ers practice. Nothing groundbreaking to report. We'll come back with more. We'll bring James into a conversation we were having earlier that pertains to the Sacramento Kings, perhaps the San Francisco 49ers as well, and the Las Vegas Aces. That's when Dealing with Casey return here with our insider, James Hamlin, Sacramento sports leader, ESPN 1320. Here, James is going to swap Wi-Fi.
While James swaps Wi-Fi, I meant to say this earlier. The Chicago White Sox,
favorite team.
No, I mean
you are wearing our
really,
Sox hat.
Not exactly, but I like the hat. I saw today that they are 35 and a half games out of fourth place.
Hey, come on, awful. Man. Come on, man. That's terrible.
Are we talking about the White Sox?
Yeah. The White Sox. Now you're going to be 35 and a half out of fourth place.
Man, the A's aren't even last place anymore.
They're not. They're not. The Angels, I don't even know what the Angels are doing as an organization. Like, what are you doing?
Neither do they, Kenny. Neither do they.
Mike Trout, another year wasted. Get well soon, sir. But yeah, I saw that. I laughed out loud when I saw that at home.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
They got 31 wins on the season. Season's almost over.
Hammer, we were having a conversation to start the show. It really started with the Aces, the Las Vegas Aces, who are struggling right now, you know, after winning a couple of championships, having the best player in the world. On their team, just not being enough to beat it. You know, they lost to a really bad Dallas team last night, and they've been inconsistent all year. And Kenny drew a really good comp to last year's Sacramento Kings, where, you know, they just can't find their footings. They just can't find their footing. And, you know, we kind of tied this in to the San Francisco 49ers a little bit, talking about, you know, we talk so much about the Super Bowl loser, the San Francisco 49ers losing the Super Bowl and having to start all over. And I attempted to make the argument that the Kansas City Chiefs are starting over too. They're starting from the same exact place that the 49ers are starting. And it's a, you know, you've got to get back to the top. They feel different than the San Francisco 49ers do. But you've got to, you know, we use the analogy of pushing a boulder up the hill. You got to push that boulder up the hill. Both teams have to do it. But after a while, it's difficult. And Manti Te'o used the term when it pertains to the 49ers as emotionally, like they're emotionally drained. And I did, for the first time, start to think, like, maybe the San Francisco 49ers do have a little bit of struggles this year. Maybe they are kind of what the Las Vegas Aces are this year. You know, they're a championship. The Aces have been a, you know, the model in professional basketball for like the last 4 years, and we're watching them struggle right now. The San Francisco 49ers could have a season, a regular season at least, this year that is a little bit of a struggle and maybe not as smooth as it was at different points last year.
Yeah, if they do, I feel like the Super Bowl hangover is a thing, but I also feel like so much of what's happened here is like self-created. And I get it. There are reasons why you have negotiations and stuff. I feel like when we're like, if we add the Kings into this discussion, like I felt like they were like De'Aaron Fox for a couple of years was trying to push a boulder up a hill by himself. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, it would always get to a certain point where the hill got too steep and the boulder would just roll back over him. And then all of a sudden he's got Domantas Sabonis there to catch the boulder and keep pushing it up the hill. And then when you got to year two, the boulder got bigger and the hill got steeper, but it was the same dudes. And you started to see that there wasn't enough and you needed to go find some more people to push that boulder. And that didn't happen. And I think that that became like the difficulty. And now they went out and got one of those pieces to help push the boulder up the hill. And so now like the boulder might not even be as heavy and might not even be as big as it was. The hill might not be as steep as it was a year before, just because I think a lot of the expectations are off, you know? And so now like the Kings almost get to push the boulder up the same hill they pushed up the first year. When it comes to the 49ers though, like this is always the rat race, you know, the Niners, like they shouldn't have lost anyone. Right. And if anything, the draft comes around and you added pieces, you added a Pooney at right guard that could really be impactful. You added a couple of pieces on the defensive line. Sure. You lost Armstead, but you replaced him with pieces. Right. Mm-hmm. But the overall structure of the team is still very, very similar as it was. And, you've almost like self-harmed yourself here as a franchise, whether it's not trading Ayuk and avoiding this situation completely and trying to, you know, maybe get a slightly lesser wide receiver, but at least one that's in camp and working with the rest of the guys. And then again with Trent Williams, like it just feels like avoidable and ways that you could have got around this. So I get the comparisons like completely. I just think that, you know, the NFL is it's so difficult, and you're right. The Chiefs aren't looking like this at all. In fact, the Chiefs are sitting there with like three or four brand new wide receivers saying, hey, we got better. And now the 49ers are the team that maybe hasn't got better, even though they got a lot of the same talent around.
Sorry, just real quick. I can't resist this because Owen is asking, what would Buddy be in the boulder process? And I'd argue he's the boulder.
Buddy would be pushing it back down.
Buddy's actually on the other side of the boulder, just sitting on top of it like, hey.
Yeah, Buddy is just sitting on top of the boulder, or he's the guy that keeps saying, you've seen that video of the people like loading a giant shelf into a truck, and you got the guy going around like this, like he's about to help pick up the edge, and he doesn't. Oh, and he keeps moving. Yeah. Hey, bro, help.
Sorry, buddy. That was unnecessary, and I apologize Buddy Hield and his family.
Come on, Owen. Don't.
But
do
I thought that was a fair question from Owen, and I wanted everybody to address it. But sorry, buddy. That was a little bit mean. I think Miss P is in the chat. We had to get that from Miss P and Brian Cruz.
Yeah, Brian Cruz. They love that. Yeah. They love that.
But I interrupted you. No. I interrupted you to tell a buddy joke.
Yes, the Fiesta City is pushing sideways. They're trying to go up the hill. He's pushing left and right.
Pushing the other way.
Or like putting a little stand out in front of you. Hey, I heard sand helps. I heard sand helps. You're like, sand doesn't help, buddy. It doesn't help. We keep slipping on it.
It be like that.
Oh, man. Poor buddy, man. Poor Shimano.
Wait. It was Crisco. That's what's supposed to help. Like, no. Yeah.
Oh, man. You brought up a good point, James, and it's something that's kind of interesting when you think about is all boulders are not created equal, right? When you have it's a boulder. Hey, no, don't look at me.
Jesse over there trying to cut the podcast immediately turns to look like, what the hell is going on in here?
He's got his flag ready.
They're not created equal because when you have certain expectations, it's a tougher climb back up to the top. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, Atlanta, the rock they're trying to push up a hill is, hey, you know, it's not that bad. Like, we just got to get in the playoffs, and we've had a successful
season. Yeah, they don't need to get to the top.
Right. Well, there's that too, right? And they could wait off one of those little ledges, you know, on the way up and mm-hmm. be like, we did something here. We did cool. Whereas expectations put a whole different level of weight to that rock that you got to push up the hill, and there are no more expectations in the game than what the 49ers have right now.
Yeah, and like just to continue the analogy, I just think that like you always worry that you got a couple of dudes to get altitude sickness, and there's only so far they can go. Right, you get 14,000 feet and we can't go any further than that because we keep getting lightheaded. And you hope that your team doesn't reach that point. And So for me, like, again, we could talk about windows and stuff like that. Like, what is it the 49ers, you know, how long is their window here and how much can they win and all that. But at the same time, I you kind of get the feeling like, okay, man, you put yourself in this situation where you're fighting, you know, each other to like, to push the boulder up the hill. And that's not the way you win. What's happening here is just not the way you win. And you hope that, you know, everything happens here right at the last second. There's jubilee and they're like, you get right back to it and all of a sudden you're winning and, you know, everyone's happy, but I don't know if that's the way this story is going to end. And that's always a tough part because you can only be so hopeful at a certain point. Reality is going to set in that you've done some damage to yourself here. And like, there might not be time to fix that damage.
Adam L. asks, is it possible to dribble the boulder off your foot?
Certainly possible to accidentally trip your teammate. Like, sorry, the boulder rolled over you. That was my bad.
You know, I think the only thing funnier than the buddy tweets are some of these White Sox tweets. That the White Sox could go on a 30-game win streak and still finish 40 games below 500.
Oh, my God.
CCG hit us with that one. That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
That is awful. Jeez, that's the worst team I've ever seen.
That's incredible.
It's the worst baseball team I've ever seen.
That's absolutely incredible.
Damn.
Do you think, Hammer, do you
Adam
think
L.
that Buddy means boy? Adam L. says Buddy means boulder in Arabic.
Oh, my God.
Buddy, you win. Adam, you win. I don't have a prize for you, but you win. That's funny.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Buddy means boulder in Arabic. Come on, man.
Poor Buddy.
Well, Buddy's just fine. Buddy going to make an all-star team from what I read.
Well,
in one of these.
Yeah.
Buddy going to make an all-star team with the Golden State Warriors. Do you think the 49ers struggled during the regular season?
I don't know. I mean, certainly they're playing a really tough opponent in week one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just going up against one of the great defenses in the league.
Yeah.
And you hope that you've got enough to get over the hump. But, I mean, it's possible. It's possible they struggle. I mean, we've seen it time and time again, the slow start by teams that, you know, lose a Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl, but, you know, the extra games and stuff. You definitely... You have to, you've got to pull the same way, right? Everyone's got to be on the same, like coming out of the gate here. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing is you can see, like, the Niners are a playoff team no matter what. Like, for me, if something disastrous happens, you know, they lose a quarterback or two, they lose McCaffrey for a long stretch of time, you know, Trent Williams situation never gets figured out, whatever. They're still going to be a playoff team under most circumstances. But what you don't want to do is lose the first, you know, three out of the first five games or something and put yourself in a situation where you're not going to be able to get home field advantage in the playoffs. Because in the NFL, it means a ton. And you just kind of want to put yourself in a situation where, like, look, 13-4... 12-5, like, you want to put yourself in a situation where you're finding success and you're setting yourselves up for the postseason.
I just think back to that 2013 season, Jim Harbaugh's third season. They got out of the gates real rocky. It was 1-2. They had a crazy game against the Packers, where Cap threw for like 433 yards to start the season. Then they got beat up by the Seahawks in week two, lost to the Colts in week three, and everybody was like, yo, this team don't look like they got it, all this other stuff. But they were able to pick themselves up and have a good season the rest of the time. They lost, like, to the Panthers, lost to the Saints, you know, a couple other games. But I really think with this team, if something like that were to happen, the competitive nature in a lot of these guys and in this group that's been together and won so many games, I think they would lock into that in the middle of the season. Like, or after, if they started 1-2, game four, all right, guys, we know it's time to turn up and things of that nature. I think they still have that in them. They're still well coached. I mean, we saw them. It was a different league, obviously, but we saw them with nobody able to play, able to compete in 2021. Mm-hmm. You know, with what, because they are well coached, and mm-hmm. there's a culture there in that locker room. So, yeah, I think they'll still be around, but there's just, talk about it again, man. There's just the vibes, the emotionally drained, all this other stuff. There's just a lot of stuff swirling around that I'm not sure if they can recover from to become a champion this year.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Like, this is a lot. It's like too much. And we always talk about distractions and stuff. Like, this has been like a huge distraction. I don't know. It's somebody I saw on Twitter put out, Debo posted something on Instagram, said something like one sack allowed in his last 983 pass protections with a picture of Trent Williams. Mm. Like, it's not just one guy who's feeling this. It's everybody. It's like, you know, if you're Debo, the world looks a lot different on an end around with Trent Williams leading your block than with, what is it, Brandon Moore. And it's not a knock on the other guy. It's just, there's only one Trent Williams in the NFL, and all 32 teams would love to have him, even at age 36, 37. He's still the best that there is. And so if you're a wide receiver, you should be looking at it that way. You should think, hey, I want my man Brock Purdy back there having time to throw me a good ball, so I'm not going over the middle wondering if the ball is coming out late or coming out high, and I'm going to get crushed because Trent Williams isn't there. Mm-hmm. So there's a trickle down with all of this. And again, life is a lot easier for Debo with Brandon Ayuk running a 30-something yard route on the other side than when you're just out there on your own and the other team doesn't have to worry about who, you know, the second or third wide receiver is, and they don't have to, you know, hedge their defense. And, you know, Debo's going to face, until Ayuk is there, he's going to face the best defensive back on every team. And that's just reality. Like, there's a trickle down to all of these moves, and that's just the offensive side of the ball. The defensive side of the ball, like, hey, defense, you might be on the field an extra 5 to 10 plays a game because our offense can't move like it did last year. And our offense isn't as good because we don't have our left tackle and we don't have our wide receiver. So we're probably going to have a few more three and outs or 6-7 play drives and not 12 play drives. So get ready to be on the field a lot more. And that's just kind of the reality.
You excited for the starting five, Hammer?
Yeah, I am. You know, like we talked about this, me and Kyle talked about it on the Insiders earlier.
It's a good show.
I think it is a good show. Allowing someone like Domas to be on a Netflix series with LeBron and Anthony Edwards and Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum, I think it's going to open like a lot of eyes and put him in a different category than he is today. And I think people are going to like really fall in love with Domas outside of Sacramento. I think he's a great basketball player, but I also think he's a very good man, and he's a family dude, and he's a great teammate. And these are the things that, you know, again, I think the way that like the quarterback like helped change what everyone thought about Kirk Cousins, I think it could really help Domas in that way. And we're talking about a guy who is so close to Hall of Fame credentials, but he might need something like this to make it so like nationally he's more respected and more well-loved and earns more All-NBA honors or All-Star games and stuff like that. This is kind of an avenue for him to do that and to show everybody just who he is off the court. And I'm really excited for him to get to show that.
I'm glad that he's part of this. I wonder why they chose Domas though.
It does feel like one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah. And it's not even like, it's just, you know, personality and what we know of him. Maybe we'll learn, you know, by watching this, he's, you know, a lot more entertaining or engaging than we realize.
Bron is the GOAT. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jimmy Butler's got a very big personality. Anthony Edwards has a massive personality. Jason Tatum doesn't.
No.
So it really does offer like a different perspective. Like, it's great that they got LeBron for this first one. LeBron's part of this. Ant-Man's the future. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, God, who knows what we'll see with Jimmy Butler. Like, that could be all sorts of fun. Mm-hmm. Tatum is an interesting guy, and I think Domas will be like, I don't know what this Domas guy's about.
You know,
hopefully he doesn't talk too fast in his interviews.
You know what I think might have been the case more than anything is I think they wanted to get Sacramento in there.
And they knew De'Aaron wouldn't do it.
They might have asked De'Aaron, and De'Aaron's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, putting cameras on my kids.
Wife and everything. Yeah. Oh, nah, I'm cool.
Yeah.
And I think that played a factor. Like, I think that played a role. I think, especially when you look at those other players in those cities outside of Ant-Man, those are big-time cities. You want to show another part of the NBA, I would think Sacramento or OKC might be the way.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Well, I think, like, knowing, getting to see a little bit more of Domas behind the scenes, he's really funny. He's really a good teammate, and he cares a lot. And I think that will come across. And I also think he will look genuine, and not all of the guys on that cast might come across as genuine, but I do think that Domas will. And I think it won't even be like so much what he says, because he does talk really fast, especially when he's in a scrum setting or he's nervous. But I think it's about like letting him, like, seeing his world. And I think his world is going to look really good on film. I think the way that he treats people, the way that he shows affection to his family is huge. I think his dad, if his dad is part of it, will be a tremendous thing. And then overall, I think, you know, the fact that he was rattling, putting up a double-double in every single game, that's also part of why he was in it, because he was sitting there doing something that someone hasn't done in a very, very long time. And I think it will draw, like, sort of the excitement of that will draw some viewers.
Hammer, you told us real quick, Domas is better in, like, the kind of the one-on-one setting, the sit-down sitting versus the you guys around with your cameras and your phones and your mics, you know, asking, hey, you guys blew a 20-point lead last night again. Like, he's more comfortable in, like, the, like, sit-down setting, yeah?
Yeah, I even think he's more comfortable sitting at a podium than he is in a scrum. When he's in a scrum, you kind of feel like the anxiety. And that's why his questions, he actually gives you really good answers.
Yeah, I can't imagine really why. He's pinned against a wall with like 15 people surrounding him. Can't imagine why there'd be any anxiety.
It's especially the post-COVID world. Like, it's the scrum is you're all like really close around him, and everyone's kind of fighting for their position and trying to throw questions. So jump over each other to throw questions in, and it makes it really tough. So I think the podium setting and then a one-on-one setting, I think he'll be really good.
Can't wait for Tatum to just, like, on all the scenes, like, job's not done.
Or, no. Will you leave that man alone?
Be better tomorrow.
Will or, you know stop? Leave him alone.
He go, what? Like, what? That's what he goes.
All right. This
I quit.
Yeah, this show is over. This show, Jesse's demanding we end the show. HendaBaptrician.com. Again, that's MapTrician.com and use the promo code DLO1320 to get 10% off of your supplement orders. Anything that you're looking for to help your training, just to help your day-to-day life, MapTrician has it. You need help with food planning, Map Training in Granite Bay could do that for you. Follow them on all their social media platforms and make sure that you're back here with us beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gigantes!